Thanks, brother. Thank y'all. Amen. Yeah. Hey, kids, third grade and down, if you want to head to Kids Rock, see Miss Jamie over here today. So you guys can head that way. If you're staying in here, we're going to be primarily in the book of Acts today. The scripture references will be on the screen, but the verses won't be. So I want to encourage you to go in your copy of God's Word. In addition to Acts, you can put your finger in the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Matthew, Romans, and Colossians, all right there in the New Testament, okay? So Acts, John, Matthew, Romans, and Colossians. Mostly in Acts, though. So, it's been a while, in some ways, ages ago, that we were in the book of Acts together. You guys remember that? It was back before COVID, about a year ago. And we stopped in Acts chapter 12. And in the coming weeks, we're going to pick back up where we left off. But before we dive back in completely, just into kind of our rhythm of looking passage after passage, verse by verse, walking through the book of Acts, I wanted us to do something together this morning. And that is look at something that happens over and over again in the book of Acts, and that is baptism. Something that we celebrated last week in the life of our brother Heath Brinson, and something that I hope that we'll do many, many more times this year, celebrating other believers coming to faith in Christ. And there's just a lot of confusion around baptism, what it is and what it's not, and who should get baptized and who should not, all that stuff. And since we're going to be kind of picking up in Acts where we left off last year, and since we see baptism over and over and over again in the book of Acts, we're going to take a look at exactly what baptism is today. And I want to say this real clearly. We're not looking at what Baptists believe baptism is. We're not looking at what Eastside teaches baptism is. We're not even looking at what Pastor Andrew says baptism is. Because none of those things matter if they don't line up with what the Bible shows us baptism is. So today, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to go to God's Word. We're going to ask this question. What is baptism according to the Bible? Okay? And we're going to answer that question in three ways. The moment of baptism, the mode of baptism, and the meaning of baptism. Okay? When does somebody get baptized? How do we baptize people? And why? What does it mean? Okay, you guys ready to do that? All right, let's pray. Father, as we dive into your word, looking at a subject in the book of Acts that we see over and over again, your church doing as your church grew and grew and grew and grew in the book of Acts, and something that Jesus, you told us to be doing on a regular basis, baptizing new believers. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand, even those of us who understand it well, I pray that you would give us even a better understanding of what this wonderful action that you've given us to do, to practice, to show the world is. And Lord, I pray for those of us who are here that know you, God, that you would just increase our faith in you. Give us joy in following you, particularly in following you in baptism. And those of us who may be here or may be listening in different ways, Lord, that have questions about baptism, maybe even their own baptism, or unbelievers, God, I just pray that your word, not me, not Eastside, not anything else, but your word, your Holy Spirit, would work in their minds and their hearts and use your word to clear it up. May they see what you've called us to do through baptism very, very clearly today. And may we respond however your Spirit leads us today. Amen. Amen? All right. Just checking to make sure y'all are still there, okay? So the moment of baptism, mode of baptism, meaning of baptism. More alliteration this week. That's 2 weeks in a row. That's pretty good for me. Yeah? All right. Thank you, Sam. So here we are, the moment of baptism. We're going to go ahead and go to Matthew 28, and then from there we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. So Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. The moment of baptism. When is an individual supposed to get baptized? You guys with me? All right. Matthew 18 through 20. This is the last thing that Jesus says in the book of Matthew before he ascends to heaven. All right? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, Jesus came and said to them, his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." The command is to make disciples, to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them. Notice the order. He says, make disciples. And those disciples, what do you do with them? You baptize them. So Jesus didn't command his followers to go baptize a bunch of people so that they would become disciples. He said, go make disciples and baptize the disciples. So we're gonna kind of get a clear picture of when the moment of baptism is supposed to occur. They make disciples and then they baptize those new disciples. You with me? They make disciples and they teach those new disciples. All right, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Go there with me. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Be doing some flipping with you today. I want you to see it in your copy of God's Word. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Peter has preached. Many people have come to faith, placed faith in Jesus. Acts 2:41, we see the result of this. So those who received his word, the idea of receiving the word is he's just preached the gospel. Those that received it were those that believed what he preached. So those who believed were what? Baptized. So mark what came first. They believed, and then what? They were baptized. All right? Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. I like to hear the pages turning. That's a good sound. Acts chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. So once again, the gospel's being preached here, and it's telling us something about what's happening. It says, "And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip," Philip was preaching the good news. "But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news, the gospel of Jesus, about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were" what? "Baptized." So they believed the gospel and then they were baptized. Okay? So the moment of baptism came after their belief. Later on in Acts chapter 8, verse 34. Same chapter, verse 34. Philip is speaking to a man the Bible calls the eunuch from Ethiopia. Philip is teaching him about Jesus. It says, "And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or someone else?'" Verse 35, it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news," the gospel, "about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?'" So the eunuch heard the gospel, he believed the gospel, and then he said, "Hey, Philip, there's some water over there. Why can't I be baptized right now?" You know what Philip said to him? "No reason you can't be. Let's do it." So So Philip baptized that new believer right there on the spot. Acts 9, 17 and 18. Acts 10, 47, 48. We see the same pattern. The gospel's preached. People hear. Some of the people that hear believe the gospel. They place faith in Jesus. And then what happens? They're baptized. Let's make sure we understand something here really quick. When we talk about the gospel, the preaching of the good news, as it's called in Acts, the good news of Jesus, we're talking about the fact that these people heard this news, that they were sinners and they couldn't do nothing to save themselves. They could do nothing to earn forgiveness with God and fix their relationship with God themselves. There was nothing they could do. That was part of the news they heard. Another part of the news, the good news of Jesus, was that God, out of his love and his grace and his mercy for them, sent his son Jesus to live a sinless life and then to die in their place on the cross for their sin. So there was nothing they could do, but they heard that God did something to allow the forgiveness of their sin to happen, and that was to send his only son, his perfect son, to die for their sin so that they might be forgiven. And they were told that they could trust this man, the Son of God, Jesus, who died in their place because he wasn't dead anymore. He was alive. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. This was the good news that they were preaching. And people that heard it, and people that believed it and placed faith in Jesus, they were what we call today saved. God forgave them of their sin. He adopted them as his child and gave them new spiritual life and eternal life in him to live with him forever. Yeah, that's the good news. And so those who believed that were forgiven and saved, and the moment of baptism came after that. Okay? Do you see that in the scriptures? People were baptized in the Bible after they believed in Jesus, after they surrendered their heart to Jesus. Be a question worth you asking today if you're unsure. Have you surrendered your heart to Jesus? Have you said, Jesus, my life isn't mine? Jesus, I realize there's nothing I can do to fix my sin problem or to undo the things I've done. My life is yours. Forgive me. Have you come to that point in your life? When people came to that point in Scripture, they were baptized after that. So what does this mean for us today? It means a couple of things. It means that you'll hear us around here use the phrase believer's baptism. And the reason we say believer's baptism is because we want to make clear that we're baptizing people that have already believed the gospel. We want to make clear that baptism doesn't save anybody. But baptism is something that someone who is saved does. So we use this phrase, believer's baptism. It also means this. We don't have an age here at Eastside. We don't have an age like 6 years old, 7 years old, 14 years old. We don't have an age where we say, all right, Johnny, it's time for you to get baptized. We don't have an age. Because we baptize people when they come to faith in Christ. Now it does mean, because in the Bible it's very clear that these people that were getting baptized were indeed believers. They had surrendered their heart, repented of their sins to Jesus. We are careful with individuals and make sure that they understand what they're doing when they get baptized. Children and adults alike. We want to make sure that they understand the gospel and that they're not trying to get saved by getting baptized. We are careful with that. So we're not speedy in baptizing people. But we do yearn to see people come to faith and fill this tub up every Sunday. Because that means people are coming to faith in Christ. People are being born again. God's kingdom is growing. And we're getting the privilege of being on the front seat of seeing that and being a part of it. Amen? So when does an individual get baptized? What is the moment of baptism? Baptism comes after someone hears the gospel, believes, and surrenders their heart to Jesus. Then they get baptized. You guys with me? This is exactly what we see in Scripture, isn't it? Just plain. Plain old teaching of Scripture. That should comfort us in the way that we go about baptism. We see it in Scripture, we do it like we see it. Okay? All right. That's the moment of baptism. That brings us to the mode of baptism. How is an individual baptized? You guys still with me? All right. That's really enthusiastic today. Just checking. The mode of baptism. How is an individual baptized? So here's the thing. Has anybody in this room ever heard the word baptized being used outside of like somebody talking about church? Nope. If it was probably they were probably trying to relate to what we do in church to something else. There's a reason for that. The word baptize is not an English word. It's a Greek word. Now hang with me. I know some of you are going to be like, oh, Greek, awesome preacher. But just this is really important. Just hang with me for a second. The first broadly used English translation of the Bible was the King James Version. A wonderful version of the Bible that was used and still is used today. It was authorized by the King James during a time in the world where the church leaders at that time were in many ways corrupt and intermingled with the government of that time. So if you didn't please the church leaders, you had a lot to lose because they had the power of the state. And in many ways, they were corrupt. And praise God, He works in spite of all that stuff. So we're doing language and history this morning. These men were commissioned to translate the Bible into English. It would have been the first authorized English version of the Bible, but the way we might put it this way is the first legal English version of the Bible. Because there had been parts of the Bible translated into English prior to that. And some of the people who did that and some of the people who used that those versions of the Bible were killed by church leaders. Because the church leaders of the time were corrupt and they didn't want that to happen. Now here's the thing. Those men that were translating the Bible at that time had a balance to strike. They were trying to be faithful to the text and make sure that this new English version of the Bible that would bring the gospel to literally millions of people would actually be authorized and used. And they came to this word baptizo, which is the word baptized in the New Testament. And they had a problem. Because if they had translated that word literally, which was what they were trying to do, they would have put the word immerse, dunk, or plunge in the Bible. And if they had done that, they would have been revealing to a watching world that their church leaders were wrong about the way they were baptizing people, which would have put them in hot water with the church leaders and the state government, which could have put them in a real bad spot. So they said, what do we do? Let's don't translate it, which means they would assign an English word to that Greek word. We're going to transliterate it, which means they're going to take that Greek word and sound it out in the English alphabet. And that's where we get the word baptize from. And that's why it's not used anywhere else but the church, because it's not an English word. It's a Greek word sounded out in the English alphabet. And by putting baptize in there, they pleased everybody. Now I want to be clear, I'm not hammering the King James Version. It is a gift of God to the English speaking world that was used by God and is still used by God today. All of our English translations, all the good ones, use that word baptize in them. But so many of the churches at that point in time did not baptize people by dunking them. They didn't want to put dunk or immerse or plunge in there. But literally translated, that word means to immerse somebody. Put them down in the water and bring them back up. So if we just said, what does the word baptize mean in Scripture when we see it? It means to dunk somebody. To dunk them. So you can like go back, you can just like read through your New Testament, and every time you see the word baptized, when Jesus was baptized, when the eunuch in Acts chapter 8 was baptized, when everybody in the Bible was baptized, they were dunked. Because that's what the word baptized means. If you just look it up. Not only that, but we have other things in here. If you look at Acts chapter 8, verse 38, you guys still there? We're done with history in Greek now. You guys happy? Okay. Acts 8, 38, it describes the situation when Philip baptized the eunuch. Remember, we're asking the question, how is an individual baptized? It says this. And he commanded the chariot to stop. These two men are in the chariot riding down the road. Eunuch says, what's stopping me from being baptized? There's some water right there. Remember, Philip says, nothing, let's do it. So the eunuch says, stop, to his chariot driver. Verse 38, commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down to the water. Into the water. They got wet. And the reason they were getting wet is because literally, they went down in the water, and Philip dunked the eunuch. He baptized him. You go to John chapter 3. Go there with me. John chapter 3. Verse 22 and 23. It says, after this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. Meaning, Jesus was dunking some people. Right? John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim. Because water was plentiful there. And people were coming and being dunked, baptized. Now, why would the Holy Spirit inspire John, the writer of the Gospel of John, to include that little detail about baptism when Jesus was baptizing people and John was baptizing people? That little detail, down near Salim, where the water was, not where, but because the water was plentiful. You guys know those rivers and streams in the mountains? You know, North Georgia? Some of you been there? In some of those places, it'd be hard to baptize, dunk somebody, because the water's not plentiful there, right? But if we went down to the Flint, it's plentiful. At least the part of the Flint that's in Bainbridge near us. There's plenty of water. We can dunk people all day long there, right? That's why. Because when the word says they were baptizing people, they were taking people and they were immersing people down into the water and bringing them back up. You see that? So when we ask the question of the word, how does the Bible teach us that people should be baptized? What is the mode? The mode becomes really clear when we study Scripture. Someone is baptized. Wait, one more thing. This is important. Notice these people that were getting baptized weren't going down to the river and doing cannonballs in, or going down into the river and saying, I'm about to dunk myself, and going, and coming back up. There was always somebody else there that was dunking them. Jesus baptized other people. John baptized Jesus. Peter baptized the eunuch. When we ask this question of the Bible, how should an individual be baptized? What we discover is, by just studying the word, is this: an individual is baptized by being immersed into water by someone else, and specifically by another believer. You see that? So we've answered the when and the how. When? After somebody comes to faith. How? By dunking them all the way down in the water, somebody else doing it, another believer dunking them all the way down in the water, and bringing them back up. Okay? You guys with me still? I got one more question. This is the most important one. What does it all mean? What is the meaning of baptism? And the reason we go to the trouble today of hounding on the mode and the moment and the mode, the when and the how of baptism, is because if we miss those, we'll get the meaning wrong. What does baptism mean? Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. So if you're in the book of Acts or John, just flip towards the back of the Bible one more book and you'll go Acts and then Romans. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Verse 4 says, we, talking about Christians, we were buried therefore with him, with Jesus, by baptism into his death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Baptized into his death. What did we say about the gospel earlier? That Jesus died in the sinner's place. When we place faith in Jesus, something happens. Let's just take me for example. When I placed faith in Jesus when I was a boy, it was as if I had died for my sin, because Jesus had died for my sin. My old sinful self was buried with Jesus. Let's read this verse again. Baptized into his death, we were buried therefore with him by baptism. So this passage is primarily teaching us how we're saved, but we catch a glimpse of what baptism is, water baptism is in it. Water baptism, when somebody is dunked into the water, it is a picture of their burial. The Bible teaches us that outside of Christ, we are dead spiritually. And it teaches us that when a spiritually dead sinner places faith in Jesus, that old dead sinner is buried with Jesus. Some of you are never going to look at this thing again, but when you stand above it on the edge of it and you look down into it, you have the same view as you would in a cemetery over an open grave. And we walk down into it together, and one of those two people lays down in that grave. Because it is a picture of them placing faith in Jesus and their old sinful self being buried with Jesus, just as Jesus' body was laid in the tomb after he died on the cross. That's exciting to me. I don't know about y'all, but that's a picture of baptism. It's also why somebody else needs to baptize the one being baptized, because a dead man can't bury himself. Colossians 2:12, go there with me. A few more pages over towards the back of your Bibles. Colossians, C-O-L, that book. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Again, talking about our salvation. Here in chapter 2 of Colossians, he speaks of baptism. And he says, same idea as he said in Romans 6, verse 4. He says this: having been buried with him in baptism, so there's that picture, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. So we have that picture, buried with him, laid in the grave through baptism, but that doesn't stop there. We don't baptize people and just put them in the water and leave them, right? That would give a whole new, well, there wouldn't be very many people sitting in the pews. Right? He continues, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Here's what happens when an individual places faith in Jesus. Surrenders their heart to Jesus. Their old sinful self is buried with Christ. And Jesus miraculously and spiritually gives them new life, eternal life in him. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you know what he called it? He called it being born again. They're given new life. Paul in Colossians chapter 2 says, you were buried with him and then raised, resurrected to new life. And that's the picture of baptism. That's the meaning of baptism. When I got baptized, I'm just using me as an example because I know my story. When I placed faith in Jesus, I was saved. And a couple months after that, I was baptized by my pastor. And you know what I was telling the world? I was telling the world that I placed faith in Jesus. When I placed faith in Jesus, my old sinful self was buried with Jesus. But praise God, I was born again. He gave me new and eternal life, and I came up out of the grave. Which is another reason somebody else needs to be there. We don't just dunk ourselves because we can't raise ourselves from the dead. Jesus has to do it. So, the meaning of baptism is this. Baptism is a picture of Jesus burying our old, spiritually dead self and raising us to new life, giving us new birth. When somebody gets baptized, they're telling the world that Jesus has already done that in them. Isn't that awesome? And so hear me closely. If perhaps you're here and you're a Christian. If you got the moment of baptism wrong, like in other words, you thought baptism was what saved you when you got baptized, or you got baptized and then came to faith later on in your life, you missed the meaning of baptism. Maybe you've been a Christian for years and you got the mode of baptism wrong. You were taught to be sprinkled, or that there was no need for water baptism or something else. The correct way of baptism does not save you, but it's important because it gives a picture to a watching world of what Jesus Christ has done in your heart and your mind. He's given you new life. Your old, dead, sinful self has been buried with Christ, and he's given you new and eternal life, raised you from the spiritual death. So if you've gotten the moment or the mode wrong, I want to encourage you. I want to tell you and then encourage you. Tell you that you've gotten the meaning wrong. And if you got the meaning wrong, you weren't baptized. You were just dunked or wet in some shape, form, or fashion. I just want to encourage you. Like, follow Jesus in the way that baptism is pictured in the Bible. If you have questions about that, I would love to sit down and talk with you about that. Not for the sake of numbers, but for the sake of your testimony before a watching world. The other thing here as we close this morning is some of you just haven't placed faith in Jesus. Some of you may be here listening and you haven't surrendered your heart to Jesus. Your old sinful self is still very much in control of your life, and you don't know what new and eternal life in Christ is. And we just want to invite you to Him today to lay down your heart and give it to Him today. You can do either one of those things today. We'd love to celebrate that with you today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And we ask that you would make us a people of your word. Make us a people who reflect the truth of your word, live by the truth of your word, both individually and together. And God, help us to trust that the way your word teaches us to live and the things your word teaches us to do are worthy of our time and our obedience. Lord, may your name be glorified by our response to your word today and the days ahead. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Let us stand together.